Good evening. Grow Track 2, how's everybody doing tonight? Doing well, glad to be here. How are you guys enjoying Grow 2 so far? Just throw me a couple of words that describe Grow Track 2, all two of you that are enjoying it. Mind-blowing. Enlightening. Anyone else? Mind-blowing and enlightening, though. That's pretty all-encompassing. So we're excited for you guys. Grow Track is just so incredible. So we're really excited that you guys are a part. For those of you who may not know me, my name is Courtney Mendoza. I'm on staff here at Timber Creek. And just want to just share with you guys a couple of exciting opportunities before you guys jump into Grow 2 tonight. For those of you that were here last week, some of these may be reminders, some of this may be new to you, but we want to let you know that KidWorks and KidWorks Junior are looking for some people to help out with teaching and assisting on Wednesdays. Now you might say, but I'm right here on Wednesdays. What we would love to give you guys the opportunity to do, and we're doing this in all the Grow Tracks, is we want you guys to have the opportunity to teach one time this semester. We're looking for about 22 to 25 people to sign up to teach one time, to invest in the next generation, to invest in some of our kids. Any of you have kids in KidWorks or in KidWorks Junior? Anybody in the room? So I know that it's so important to you guys to see your kids having the opportunity to grow just like you are. And so we would love to give you guys the opportunity to invest in them. All of the material will be given to you. You don't have to come up with a lesson on your own. They'll tell you exactly what you need to know. But we would love for you to do that. So if you have not already signed up, I heard a lot of people signed up last week. So if you didn't get a chance to sign up, please consider just doing one Wednesday night this semester. And it will not count against your absences for Grow Track 2. So just make sure that you connect with Megan and let her know if you are serving and whatnot, you're scheduled to serve, and it won't count against the absences that you can have for Grow Track 2, right? Is that right? Okay. Second opportunity is in Cafe Aroma. Does anybody here love Cafe Aroma as much as I love Cafe Aroma? Oh my goodness, Sunday morning, I'm like, where is the coffee? There's some exciting opportunities in Cafe Aroma as well. If you love Cafe Aroma, we would love to give the opportunity for you to help out with hosting or restocking, just some things that go on in the front on Sundays and Wednesdays. So if you're available on either Sunday or Wednesday and would be interested in doing that, you can sign up at your table for Cafe Aroma. They're also looking for some people that can help out with supplies during the week. So if you have some free time during the week and would be interested in coming up to help with some food prep and supplies for the cafe, again, they will tell you everything that you need to know and teach you how to do anything, so you don't have to even have any previous experience. You will be able to be trained on all of those things. So if you have some free time during the week and would be interested in that, we would love for you to do that as well. And then finally, the opportunity that we want you guys to know about is Encounter. Encounter kicks off this Sunday, February 17th. Has anybody in this room gone through Encounter? I've been through Encounter. Okay, awesome. A lot of you have. Encounter is amazing. It's incredible. If you have not been through Encounter yet, sign up. Do Encounter this semester. It will completely change your life. It's just so exciting to see what God does through Encounter and through Grow Tracks. And you partner all of these pieces together, and it is what we're all about here at Timber Creek Church, taking next steps so that we can discover and fulfill our God-given potential. And so Encounter is a huge part of that. If you have not been through Encounter, we would love to see you do that this semester. So those are the things that I wanted to let you guys know about. I hope you'll get involved in some of those opportunities, and you guys have a great night in Grow Track 2. All
right. Who's ready to talk about homework? I know y'all love this part so much. Just really quick, if you did not sign in outside, please sign in at your table. You don't have to do both, can if you want to. And then also, sorry, Stephen, I'm going to move this so you can move it back. I'm a little bit larger than I normally am. Just like in Grow Track 1, you can miss 3 and still move on to Grow 2. That does not count if you're serving in KidWorks, Cafe Aroma, anything like that. So just wanted to kind of, since we're on week 3, just wanted to kind of plug that in there. If this is your first night here, welcome. We're so glad to have you. Also, can my table host raise your hands? You don't have to stand. I'm not going to make you stand and introduce yourself, but can you raise your hands? Okay. So they should have already introduced themselves to you guys, but I just wanted to, if in case your table host is not here one day, we have a full team to help you. So feel free to ask questions to any of our awesome team. They're amazing. We still have Bible study tools that are in the back on sale for $5. If you guys want them, let me know after class and I'll hook you up. And now, let's get into the homework. Who wants to come up and do the memory verse? Or sit at your table and do it? Perfect. Okay, I'm going to let you cheat on that one. Next week, you can't read off of anything. Next week, you have to do it from memory, hence memory verse. And then you get a free Cafe Aroma, and who doesn't love free coffee or anything? All right, did anyone notice anything, or what stood out to you guys in your SOAP homework? To wrap up the homework in John 10, for me, I was reading through it and just kind of going over everything. And in verse 3, Jesus is saying, the gatekeeper opens the gate. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls the sheep by name and leads them out. Then just a few verses later, he's saying, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. I lay down my life for my sheep. Go down a few more verses. And he's saying, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and no one will snatch them out of my hand. And it was such a beautiful reminder to me of how good Jesus really is. I mean, he knows you. He knows all of us. The innermost ugly parts of our heart he knows, and he still loves us. So I just want to encourage you guys today and remind you, whatever you may be going through, whatever you may be fighting through, Jesus is with you, and he loves you, and no one and nothing can snatch you out of his hand. He knows his sheep, and his sheep know his voice, which requires action on our part. We have to get in our word. We have to talk to God to know his voice. Amen? All right, we're going to kick it on over to Pastor Stephen.
All right. Thank you, guys. How are you? You guys awake? Hey, I got to tell you something real quick. Since you guys learned about SOAP, the SOAP method last week, that's something that I just shared with my son, Landon. How many of you know my son, Landon? He's 10 years old. And I thought I would share with you what he, since y'all are sharing about your SOAP experience this last week. So we were reading, I don't know what night it was, one night last week, and we were reading 1 Samuel chapter 17, which is the story of David and Goliath. And so he was real excited. He knows that story pretty well. But we sat down and we read it, and we spent a little bit of time talking about it. And then I always give him a sheet of paper, and I taught him. And so he does his own little SOAP method. He picks out a scripture from that chapter, and then he does the observation, he does the application, and he writes a little prayer. And they're always pretty interesting. But I wanted to share with you what he put for the application. Okay, everybody knows the story of David and Goliath, correct? Okay, so here's what he said. I wrote it down so I get it just right, because it's pretty profound. Even when you're scared, you can still kill those fat giants with that $5 slingshot from Target. So that was his application, and I thought I'd share that with you guys tonight since you were talking about soap. I just laughed so hard when he brought his sheet to me, and he was just smiling, and I read it. I was like, you're a goofball, man. And so I guess he's seen $5 slingshots at Target, I guess. Maybe they sell those. But, well, guys, it's good to be with you tonight and hang out with you guys. It's just incredible to see what God has done over the last year and a half through Grow Track, and just so excited that you guys are on this journey of growing and seeing what God's doing in your life. And it's so cool to get to bounce around a little bit and just see how each group is different. You know, Grow Track 1 right now is very different from Grow Track 2 from you guys, and you guys are very different from Grow Track 3 in the next room. But it's just so neat to see and hear the stories of what God is doing, and just so proud of you guys for jumping in. Nobody twisted your arm and made you get here. At least I don't think the Campbells have done that. If they are twisting your arm, let me know. But you guys are here by choice, here to grow, here to walk and grow in the Lord, and so we're excited for you guys. And I get the opportunity tonight to talk to you guys about understanding the biblical teaching of fasting And I look back at the GrowTrack 1 manual, and you guys, you didn't talk specifically about fasting in too much detail in Grow 1. Maybe it was touched on a little bit, so I'm excited. But what's really neat is that it's being taught right here tonight, but in the next room in GrowTrack 3, Sonia Bonner's in there, and she's teaching on fasting. And then in Encounter, there's a week where you talk about fasting. Those of you that have been in Encounter, you hear about it. And so obviously it's important. Obviously it's huge and very important. And so we're just excited to kind of jump in there for the first time. How many of you guys, you know, every year we've started this kind of tradition of at the first of the year in January and then again in August, right before we kick off the fall semester, right before kids get back into school. We do a 21 days of prayer and fasting. In January, it's prayer and fasting. How many of you participated in January's fast? How many of you guys? Awesome. Very cool. How many of you that raised your hand, it was your first time to ever fast? Anybody? You? Awesome. That's so cool. That's awesome. Well, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about what fasting is. And then you guys are going to do a lot of work tonight. Is that okay? You're going to be doing at your table some group work. And we're going to look at some biblical examples. A biblical example of someone who did it wrong. Did fasting wrong, and then we'll break from there and discuss it a little bit, and then you're going to talk about someone who did it right, okay? And then we'll follow up with some other stuff. But before we get into that group exercise and that group work, let's talk about what is fasting. So I'm just going to ask that question of you guys. Let you talk for a minute. What does it mean to fast? What is fasting? Giving up food, sacrificing. Yeah, kind of a separation, right? Absolutely. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah. That's a great way to put it, yeah. Starving your flesh and feeding your spirit. That's good. Awesome. Well, guys, you know, kind of a term for fasting, and all of these are great descriptions of it. A fast is the practice of abstaining from food, either completely or partially, for a specified period of time, right? And it's an ancient practice found in most religions in the world, right? I don't know if people realize that all the time, but it is. Traditionally, fasting was used to even observe for the purpose of purifying the person and or atoning of sins and wrongdoing. It's been around a long, long time, practiced in other religions as well. But the discipline of fasting is available to strengthen you spiritually and to help you overcome barriers. Right? Why is that important? Because there's just barriers, right? When you come to know Jesus, when you give your heart to God, the enemy doesn't like it. Satan doesn't like it. And barriers come in our life that get in our way. And the discipline of fasting gives us the opportunity to connect to God in a just deeper way and strengthen us spiritually so that we can overcome those barriers that keep us from living a victorious Christian life. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. We're going to talk about that tonight. That is definitely one of the benefits of fasting, that it can break bondages, right? You know, when Jesus taught on prayer and fasting, he said this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. He says this, and when you pray, right? He talks about prayer there at the beginning of it. And then you go on down to verse 16 in chapter 6 of Matthew, and he says, and when you fast. Notice that he didn't use the word if, all right? What word did he use twice there? It wasn't if, he used what? When, right? And so if it's not if it were if, it would be, you know, a suggestion that maybe you could do this, maybe if you feel like it, right? Maybe if it's good timing for you, if it's a good season for you. No, he doesn't say if, he says when. So it is what? It is expected of us, right? As we, it's to be this practice, this discipline. Can I be honest and transparent with you guys? I'm 40 years old. And when I was 13 years old is when I gave my heart to the Lord. And I just remember I didn't fast. I didn't know about it. Nobody really taught me as a teenager about this practice, this discipline of fasting. I was in church, had great men and women in my life that spoke into my life and was growing. But nobody really taught me about that. I remember going off to Bible college and I still didn't And I started to hear more about it, obviously, in Bible college, but nobody really kind of challenged me or pushed me into that. And I can even remember being a youth pastor when I first got into ministry, started to kind of practice it, but still didn't understand it. Anybody similar to that? You began to fast, but it was kind of confusing, didn't see many results. And I'll just be transparent with you. That's how it was for me. And I'll be honest, here at Timber Creek Church, I've been here 4 years. It's hard to believe at the end of this month. I've gained a better understanding and have had a better discipline and practice of fasting this last 4 years in my whole life. And I'm just so grateful for a church that believes in it, that practices it. Really, when you guys think about it, this church, 90-year-old church, would not be where it's at today without the prayers and the fasting of so many people through the last 90 years. This church has been built on prayer, built on fasting. And so yeah, I just love that it's practiced here. And I'll be honest, it's taught me more the importance of it. And I've had a better understanding and gotten more used to practicing it here than I have in any other place, even as a minister, I'll be honest with you. And so I'm so grateful for that and thankful for that. So it's when we pray, when we fast, not if, right? So that's so super important for us to grab a hold of tonight. Prayer is about, and this is what Pastor Jeremy says a lot during our 21 days of prayer and fasting. Prayer is about connecting to God, right? We take the time to pray, and we need to do that daily, right? Because we want to connect with a living God that we can have a living, loving relationship with, right? Prayer is about connecting with God. Fasting is about disconnecting from the world, right? Because we need to do that too. There needs to be these moments in our life that we plan and practice this idea of completely disconnecting from the world, right? It's not just food. How many of you maybe did a social media or media fast? Anybody during that 21 days, right? Sometimes it's that. I did that this last time where I fasted sugar and social media. And honestly, I almost don't want to go back to it because it was just so nice to get completely disconnected. I missed some things, missed some birthdays. If I missed your birthday, I apologize. Didn't have Facebook to tell me every day. But man, it was just so... It was awesome, but there's this idea that go beyond just social media. It's this idea that we disconnect from the world and we take and we put time aside for more deeper and intimate times with the Lord, right? And it's important, guys, that as we're talking about fasting, don't just fast and not pray, okay, because then you're dieting. You can set aside, I'm going to fast lunch every day, and you could do that, but if you're not taking that lunch time to spend extra time with the Lord, then you're just dieting, right? You're not really fasting. And so there's this idea that as you're connecting to God on a deeper level by disconnecting from the world, disconnecting from your worries, disconnecting from your current circumstances that maybe for some of you right now are like huge and difficult and challenging. You disconnect from that and you're plugging in more time with God. And man, there's just something amazing that happens during that moment when we begin to fast. I mean, you look at probably the greatest example of fasting in the New Testament, Jesus. He did it, right? He took 40 days and 40 nights where he completely disconnected from everybody. And he went out into the wilderness, and that was a complete disconnect. I mean, he spent time by himself, no food, no water, and he battled temptation during that time. And God did amazing things through that, right? And it's so important. How many of you have incredibly busy, loud lives and schedules, right? If you have children, you have a very busy, loud schedule. I know that's my life, my season right now with three kids. It's just busy all the time. And I have to stop every once in a while and disconnect from, you know, not my kids and just, you know, I got to do my job and I got to do certain things, but there's other ways that I can disconnect and take 2 days, 7 days, 14 days, 21 days, whatever it might be, and really connect with God on a deeper level because I need it for that season. I need direction. I need help. I need just an extra prayer time for someone I'm praying for in a situation that they're dealing with, right? And so that's what's so important about fasting. When you begin to take up the discipline of fasting, you can expect something though, okay? You ready for this? You can expect resistance. You can expect interference. You can expect opposition. Okay, anybody experience that when you fasted? Absolutely, right? Why is that? It's because the enemy, man, he's dumb, but he's crafty all at the same time. And he knows that if he can break up our communication with the Lord, if he can break off the communication that we have with the Lord, then he knows that he's got us, that we're going to listen to more of outside opinions and voices and listen to his voice and his lies more than we're going to listen to God. And so if we have a plan to disconnect from the world and spend more time connecting with him, you better expect that you're going to get some resistance, that you're going to get some interference, some opposition. But man, isn't it amazing that after a few days of getting past those hunger pains, right? Getting past I did a 21-day Daniel fast this time last year, and I thought that was tough, and the sugar was just as bad. I thought that was strange, but it was. I had just as many headaches. But once I got past that moment, all of a sudden just kind of the fog clears, and you begin to have this intimacy with the Lord. Anybody experience that during a fast? It's just incredible, and you get past that resistance, and you pray against that resistance and opposition, but just know that it's going to come. Don't be discouraged, right? The enemy doesn't want you entering into a type of intimate relationship with the Lord like that through fasting, okay? So don't be caught unaware. Remember that you are attempting to advance your spiritual journey, and we're all on that journey, every single one of you guys. Doesn't matter what part or point of that journey where you're at, we're all on that journey, and gain ground for the kingdom, okay? And that's important because this necessitates taking ground away from who? If you're gaining ground for the kingdom, then who are you taking ground away from? The enemy. And he doesn't like that. Whether it's in your own life, whether it's on behalf of your children, if it's on behalf of your marriage that's struggling, if it's on behalf of whatever it may be, the enemy does not like it that you're taking ground back from him, right, for the kingdom. And so just expect that. No great movement of the Holy Spirit is ever going to go unchallenged from the enemy that's against us, right? Make sense? Okay, so what we're going to do is I just want to take a few minutes, and we've got some there in your booklets there. We've got two exercises. The first one we're going to do is you're going to read a biblical example at your table as a group. I want you to work together as a group. You're going to read the passage, and then there's some questions there for you that I'd like for you guys to answer together, and then I'll come back in a few minutes, and we'll kind of answer them out loud, and then we'll move on to the next one. But this first one is in 1 Samuel chapter 14, verses 24 through 30. And this is an example of fasting done wrong. So I'll go ahead and give you that part of it, right? This was done wrong. But go ahead and take about 10 minutes, read through the passage, and then talk through it together and have somebody there at the table maybe take some notes on answering your questions, and then we'll come back and discuss it. Sound good? All right. Hey, guys. I know some of you might not be all the way finished, but let's go ahead and just kind of talk through this first group work. And let me ask you these questions, and you guys can just kind of give me some answers here. Who called the fast here in 1 Samuel 14? King Saul, right? And y'all know who King Saul is, right? He's the one that Israel wanted a king so bad, right? And so Saul becomes king. Samuel anoints him king, and things started off okay, but they went downhill right after that. And King Saul is not really living for the Lord like he should. And so he's the one who calls the fast. Number two, why did he call the fast? What's that? His enemies, right? He was scared and afraid of his enemy, right? Why else? What else was going on? He was, wasn't he? Yeah, and that's interesting. What's important about that fact right there? So if he called a fast, right. Yeah, probably not a good motive to call fast, huh, when he's angry. It's a whole lot of eyes in there. Yeah, definitely. That's a big part of fasting is what are the motives behind why you're fasting, right? So that's huge. You know, it's interesting, too, that King Saul, he knew what was right he obviously knew what fasting was. He knew that fasting was something that he should do. And so it's not so bad that he called a fast. It was just that he uses it in the wrong way. He's using it behind the wrong motive, right? So number three, what is wrong about this specific call to fast? Wrong time? Out of vengeance, yeah? What about this on this side of the room? Y'all real quiet. He wanted control, absolutely, right? King Saul wanted to use fasting as a means of control. I mean, totally, that's totally hits the nail on the head. To make God do what he wanted God to do. It wasn't about what God wanted to do. It was about what Saul wanted. And he wanted to win the battle. And it's kind of like a genie in a lamp, you know? You hear the new Aladdin movie coming out, and this week everybody's making a big deal about Will Smith, and he's blue and everything else. It made me think about that as I was getting ready today. And I don't know if you saw pictures or video of it. He looks pretty goofy. But anyway, this idea of a genie in a lamp, right? Genie in a bottle. And fasting, that's not what this is. It's not that I'm going to fast in this situation so I can get God to do what I want him to do, right? If I just do this and I rub the lamp that way, God's going to pop out and he's going to give me everything that I need. He's going to give me the answer that I need. He's going to take care of my bills. He's going to take care of the situation. That is not the right motive in how this works. Number four, what did Jonathan, and who is Jonathan? Saul's son, right? What did Jonathan do that put his life in danger? He ate the honey, right? Right? He did what his dad's told him not to do, but he was ignorant of the fast. And, you know, but he's in a situation where he's coming off, if you've read the first part of 14, it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible where him and his armor bearer just climb up that cliff, right? I don't know if you've ever read that. If you haven't, read that story. It was probably the craziest strategy ever to attack an enemy of hundreds of men. And basically he looks at his buddy and says, hey, we're going to climb up this cliff to the enemy of hundreds of people up there. And if they yell down to us, then we know we got them. And if they don't, they do this other thing, then we're in trouble. And they basically, two guys climb up a cliff to the enemy and defeat the enemy. It's pretty wild. So he's coming off of that. And then he comes into this situation. Where is Jonathan's remarks about were his remarks about the fast wrong or right? They were right, weren't they? King Saul made a very poor decision that cost the lives of so many people, right? These men were tired, and he calls them to this fast after they're exhausted. He just made a poor decision. Why? Out of his selfish ambition, out of control, right? So how does this apply to us? What are several examples of good reasons to fast? What are some reasons you guys came up with? Draw closer to God. That's a great one right there for sure. Yes, absolute clarity over a situation. Yep. Crisis, the situation. For breakthrough. Supernatural results. Absolutely. That's good. That's good. Say that again. Right. That's that true disconnect, right? Yeah, absolutely. That's good. That's good. Well, what must you be careful to do before starting a fast and why? Yes, absolutely. What are my motives behind starting this fast by doing this, right? Take the time to hear from God on what kind of fast to do and how long to fast. Miss Megan. Absolutely. I love that. That's so true. And so we're so quick to do it just to get a quick answer when maybe we need to take time to pray and ask the Lord what our motives are behind it. So make a commitment, stick with it, be intentional. I think being intentional is important too. Okay. So that was our example of the wrong way to do a fast. Let's take a little bit more time. And you've got another passage here of how fasting done right and done the correct way. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's a lot of verses, okay? So take your time to get through it, but it's verses 1 through 29. And if you can pronounce the guy's name correctly, I'll give you a high five for some of you guys, all right? We'll talk about that in a minute. But take some time, go ahead and read that passage, and go through the questions with this as well. All right, guys. I know that was a long, long section of scripture, so you might not be done. But let's go, just for time's sake, let's kind of work through some of these. Who can pronounce the king's name? Let me hear it. Man, you guys are good. Jehoshaphat. Why did they name their child Jehoshaphat? I don't know. But why did King Jehoshaphat call the people to fast? Right. They were outnumbered. The enemy was coming, right? What's that? Yes, guidance, absolutely. Without God's intervention and protection, his people would be utterly destroyed. It was a pretty desperate prayer, desperate situation. And his fast was a fast of surrender to God and humility, a fast to remove self and to allow God to come and do what only God can do. And if you ever had to pray a prayer like that, right, that's a desperate prayer. But man, when we come to God with our desperate prayers, he hears us. Number two, how do you know his motives were right before God, as opposed to our other example, King Saul, in the previous example? How do you know? Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. King Jehoshaphat literally prays and cries out to God, right? He sets a great example. He leads the people to do the same. He wanted God's people to be safe and to see God glorified in their midst. Number three, how did the people respond to the call to fast and to pray? Right? They did it together. Right. They had a great example in front of them too, right, of King Jehoshaphat, and they did it together. They responded by desperately seeking God and surrendering to his will and his plan together, right? Number four, what were the results of this fast, and what did it set into motion? Protection. Absolutely. Fear melted away, right, as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is a great chapter on just a teaching of worship, right? Isn't it? Right, absolutely. God defeated the enemy, not them, not the people. God did it.
By them praying, they actually took themselves out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
And allowed God to work.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so good right there. Yep, they took themselves out, put God front and center, and let him take care of it. They became clear-minded. They developed an amazing strategy to defeat the enemy in that story. What would have happened had they not fasted? Destroyed, right? They had no chance in this situation. They needed God. God had to intervene. It was a desperate situation, a desperate prayer that called a fast and focused prayer, and God showed up in a big, big way. Give some examples of situations in modern-day life that are good occasions for us to fast and pray. Uh-huh. That's great. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. Fasting on behalf of our leaders, right? That's a good thing to do, right? What else? To overcome the enemy. Right, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. What was that? Yes, definitely. Tons of situations and examples in our everyday life that are good for us to occasions for us to fast and pray. How will fasting help those situations and the people involved? Exactly. Just like she was saying, you know, kind of take yourself out of the equation, let God be front and center. That's so good, too, because a lot of times, whatever the situation may be, we get filled with fear and anxiety and just our emotions get involved. But when we can take time to say, I'm going to stop and I'm going to give this to God, I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray, it does help us to have a different perspective, doesn't it? That's so good. Mm-hmm, definitely.
We've got to remove ourselves sometimes.
That's right.
And let them learn their lessons, because that's the next lesson.
That's so hard. So hard.
So hard,
but so true. What can happen as a result of choosing not to fast and pray over such situations that we've mentioned? Nothing changes. We feel defeated or get defeated. We can be filled with negativity and bitterness towards a situation, can't we? Try to resolve it in our own hands. Yeah, definitely. So true. Well, let's transition here. We got a little bit of time left. I want to talk to you guys to finish up your notes here. What fasting does in our lives. We've talked about what it is. We've seen a great example of how not to do it. A great example on how it's supposed to be done. Now, what does fasting do in our lives? Number one, fasting helps us overcome temptation. That's huge, right? I love in Isaiah, if you have time this week, write down Isaiah chapter 58. It's another great chapter that speaks to fasting. And in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6, it talks about this. It says, "Is it not this kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, right? To set the oppressed free and break every yoke." This idea of yoke, if you look into it, it can represent and be the idea of habit, okay? Habits in our lives that can come about in our lives when we give in to certain temptations, right? And I love that it talks about fasting and the idea of breaking free of every yoke. And God helps us, and he can help us with that, overcome certain habits and fight temptations that we're struggling with that we might be giving into by fasting and prayer. In fact, you go down your notes there, the next thing, it talks about this idea of denial produces discipline. Denial produces discipline. I hate the denial of no sugar for 21 days, right? But it created a discipline in me. If I'm trying to lose weight, there's got to be some denial of some Dr. Pepper. There's got to be some denial of some things. Jeremiah's shaking his head. We're just Dr. Pepper brothers. Like, we love it. That man's drinking one right now. That's just not even right in front of me. But you know, you've got these things. If you've got a goal in mind and you're trying to lose a certain amount of weight, there's some denial involved in that, but it produces a discipline. It teaches you to be more disciplined in what you eat. You talk to athletes and stuff. You know, my daughter's learning. She's a swimmer, and she swims 2 hours a day, every day, sometimes even on Saturdays, and she's in swim meets, and she's just having to learn that there's some denial of getting to go home like all the other kids do and chow on a bag of chips. No, she goes straight to practice and swims for 2 hours and swims like over 2,000 yards a day. And it's this denial of those things which is creating a discipline in her that she's becoming a really incredibly great swimmer, right? And so it's the same thing when it comes to fasting and prayer. Hebrews 12:11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Now, if we stop there, that's not a fun verse, is it? But if you keep reading, later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it, right? Denial produces discipline, the discipline of fasting and prayer. It's a discipline, guys, that my heart for you is that it becomes a regular practice for you, that God calls you to it and you practice it regularly. Number two, fasting brings breakthrough. Sometimes we just need a breakthrough. Anybody have experienced that before, that you just need a breakthrough in a situation? And in the book of Daniel, another great example of how fasting can be done correctly, and it talks about the Daniel fast and what he went through. That's the example. That's where we get the Daniel fast from. But in chapter 10, verses 12 through 14, it says, "Then he continued, and an angel was speaking to Daniel, 'Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. There's this idea of fasting and prayer produces a breakthrough. And I'll add this other scripture, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. I think it's in your notes there. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You've probably heard that scripture before, but this applies here. Those of you that may be needing a breakthrough in your marriage, a breakthrough in a wayward child that you've just been praying for, and you need a breakthrough, and you can't control what's going on with that teenager, but you just need God to break through, right? Or there's a specific temptation that you continually fall to and struggle with. You need a breakthrough. Fasting and prayer can bring that about. Yeah, James. Absolutely, yeah. And have any of you fasted for something and you didn't see the answer yet? You know, I've been there. You know, just this last fast, one of the specific things I'm fasting for, my two youngest kids have severe food allergies. They wear an EpiPen everywhere they go. You go to KidWorks right now, they got this thing strapped around their waist that if they have, you know, a reaction, they have to be stuck with an EpiPen, right? That's just the life they live since they were born. And that was one of my prayers. Did God heal them yet? No, he didn't. But I'm going to keep fasting and praying for those two kids, right, until the day he does it, until the day they're in his presence, right? They're going to be healed one day, whether it's here or in heaven, right? And so you just keep believing for that breakthrough. Number three, fasting weakens the flesh and strengthens your spirit. Man, you go through that first experience of fasting, especially if you're fasting food, right? Whatever it may be, and your flesh just gets weak. It weakens the flesh, but it strengthens your spirit. And after a couple days of going through that, and you kind of get your mind past the headaches from the lack of caffeine or whatever it may be, all of a sudden the fog clears, and there's just this clarity, right, as you begin to really connect with the Lord, and it strengthens you. It strengthens your spirit, and it's just incredible to see what happens as the flesh weakens, the spirit gets stronger, because we're leaning on God, we're getting out of the way, and we're allowing God to step into place as we fast. Number four, fasting assists in bringing forth the will of God in a specific situation. How many of you have had just, you're trying to figure out what God's leading you to do in a situation? Maybe you have two options, you know, that you're trying to decide between. And maybe even both options are good, right? They're not necessarily bad, but you just don't know what to do. That's a great time to fast and ask the Lord as you pray, God, what direction do we take? We want your will in this situation. We want your will in this decision for me, for my family, for our kids, for our situation, right? Number five, fasting brings clarity and understanding. When you're confused about something, when you're struggling with something, there's not understanding in a situation. Fast and seek the Lord. Guys, God is not the author of confusion. Right? He is not that. And if there's confusion in a situation, take the time to fast and seek the Lord. Right? Acts 13:2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Right? There, you've got to have clarity and understanding in a situation, whatever it may be, that you're dealing with. And when you do that, the fog begins to clear. And God brings clarity and brings real understanding to a situation or the direction that you're supposed to go in. And then finally, number six, fasting reduces and removes what we are not so that we can become who we are destined to be. You know, one of the greatest reasons to fast is just to draw closer to the Lord. And the more you draw closer to the Lord, it becomes less and less about who you are. It becomes less and less about your ambitions and what you want. less and less about all the things you think you want to do, and it becomes more and more about Him. Because you're disconnecting from all those things and you're connecting to Him, and it's more about Him and who He's called you to be. And guys, every single one of you in this room, God's got something specific for each and every one of you. And I want you to believe that. And there is someone, something that you're destined to be, and it's in those times of fasting and prayer that you draw closer to the Lord that He begins to make that more and more clear, and He begins to draw out those things in you, those talents, those abilities. And He's calling you to be more and more who you were destined to be. I want to close with this before I pray with you guys. One of the things that's interesting, too, and I just want to share this as kind of a cool testimony from last month when we did have our 21 days of prayer and fasting. I shared this with our movement coaches at my house last month. But so Jeremiah and Megan, I think Justin heard of this, but sometimes you'll be fasting for specific things, and then during a fast, God will do some crazy things that you didn't even have on your list. Anybody ever experienced that before? Something maybe that you've been praying for, but it maybe wasn't something on your specific list that you were praying for, fasting for that time. Well, last month, man, that's what happened to me. About this time last year, I was my son decided to play baseball. And he started playing baseball, and there was another young man on the team that had gone to school with Landon, and they knew each other, and they hit it off, and they became good buddies. Well, I connected with that young man's dad the first practice, and it seemed like every practice after that, every game, me and this kid's dad would just start talking to each other, and I got to know him, and he every time we'd show up to a practice, every time we'd show up to a game, he'd just kind of come over, and we ended up talking. And our talks about just life and different things and our kids and our families quickly turned into, every once in a while, he'd sprinkle in a kind of a, he knew I was a pastor, and he'd be like, hey, what do you think about this? You know, and it'd be a situation he was struggling with his kids or at work or something like that. And what turned out, just us talking, the baseball season ended and went into the summertime, and we would still get together for lunch occasionally, and a couple texts here and there, and we'd stay in touch with each other. And then this fall, when school started back in August, my kids decided to do 4-H, and it so turns out that they were in the same 4-H group with this guy, his kids, his two children. And so we connected again, and we just kept getting lunch, kept getting breakfast. And then he started stopping by my office, and he would ask more and more questions. And I knew he went to church here in town somewhere, but there was never, he didn't have, you could just tell, there wasn't like a relationship with the Lord there in his life. And I started to just begin to pray for him and his family, and that God would open that door. And I'm always careful with that, because when you're a pastor, everybody thinks you're just trying to get him to come to your church. And so I'm always trying to be careful. You know, I didn't want him to think I was trying to recruit him to come to Timber Creek over his other church. I just genuinely cared about the guy. And I tell you what, last month during the fast, we went to breakfast, and we were supposed to go to lunch, but I remember Candace, my assistant, Candace Bergman, many of you know her, she was like, you don't have time this week. You can't do lunch with this guy. So you don't have time in your calendar. I said, okay. So I went to breakfast with him instead. I tricked her. She didn't know about it. I was like, that's not on the calendar. So that wasn't during the day. So I had breakfast with a guy, and we were walking out of Cracker Barrel, and he was in the middle of trying to make a decision, a pretty big decision on switching jobs with one company to another. It was a pretty big decision for him at that season of life with his family, with his kids. And we walked out, and he just said, you know, I have a real peace. I never say that. I don't talk like this, but I have just a real peace about this decision. He goes, but I keep waking up every morning. He says, I wake up, and I put my hands like this, and I just feel like there's more. Like there's, like, I got more potential. Maybe even God's got more potential for me. He's never been to Timber Creek. He's never heard our mission statement. Our mission is your God-given potential. But he just starts talking like this. And he's like, can I come by your office this afternoon? I'm like, yeah, don't tell Candace, but yeah, come on by. And so he shows up, and man, it was so neat to see what the Lord did. And he came into my office, and I had a book for him that I wanted him to read. And he just began to ask more questions. And I led that guy to the Lord right in my office that afternoon, and didn't even think that was going to happen, but had been praying for him. And I just share that example to say I do believe that was a result of the fasting, that time that I was in. God was just doing, not only was he answering some of the specific things I was praying for, he was also doing some things that weren't on my list, you know. And so I just say that to encourage you guys that fasting is so powerful and so amazing. And it's not just if you're going to do it. I want to encourage you, when are you going to do it? You know, begin to flex that muscle a little bit. I work out with Jeremiah and Casey Adams, and they're killing me on Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. And I'm stretching out muscles I didn't know I had. And they hurt really bad. And just trying to be like Jeremiah back here. But it's kind of like that. I use that illustration to say that, you know, it's kind of like a muscle that you've got to begin to stretch. You've got to begin to stretch that muscle and see what God begins to do. The first couple times might be difficult. Bring some people into your life that you trust and say, would you pray with me as I fast over the next 7 days for this or for that, right? And I just want to encourage you guys, make it a regular practice because God wants to do amazing things. And ultimately, he's got great dreams for you, wants to do something in and through you as you get out of the way, as you fast and pray for things specifically and to draw closer to the Lord. Does that make sense to you guys? Amen. Well, let me pray for you, and then I'll hand it over to Megan. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the example we see in your scripture, God, tonight through King Jehoshaphat. And there's so many other examples, God, of just men and women who in a desperate time or who needed direction, God, or who needed deliverance, God, They fasted and they prayed and they fell on their face before you. And I loved what Miss Tanya said over here. Pull yourself out of the situation. Get out of the way. Put God front and center. Let him win the battle for us. And God, there might be some here tonight, God, that have some specific battles that they're fighting right now. And God, I pray that as Christians, God, whether they just came to know you recently in the last few months, 6 months, or a year, God, whether they've been following the Lord for years, God, I pray that they would make fasting and prayer a regular part of their life. God, that it would not be if, but when and how often, God, that it truly becomes a discipline and a practice in their life. And God, that they would see incredible results from the fasting and the prayer. And God, ultimately, they just grow and grow and grow to become more and more who you've called them to be. And we thank you for this tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.
All right, I'm going to run over. You good? Go ahead. Okay. All right, I'm just going to run over your... Babe, you're going to have to get that later. Okay, so memory verse for next week is Romans 1:16. And then you guys, whoever is the first to raise their hand, I will call on. You'll get a free drink if you can recite it. We're also asking for you guys to prayerfully consider joining the team, the staff here, to fast one day a week for the rest of the semester. There's no pressure. We're not going to call you and ask you what you're fasting and how it's going or why you're not. Or we just want to encourage you and to push you out there just a little bit, just to step you out of your comfort zone, especially if you've never done it before. So it doesn't have to be food. I was telling our team earlier, obviously, I'm not going to fast food right now. So I'm fasting TV for a certain amount of time a day just to spend that time with the Lord. So pray about it. Decide. No pressure from our end. And then also, the last little bit of your homework is to read John 11 through 15 and soap that. If you guys weren't here last week and you missed the message on soap, please go back and listen to it. It is so good and so important, and it'll really help you out for the rest of the semester. But I just want to encourage you guys with, you can come to every class we offer, you can sit through everything we do, but if you're not putting in the work, if you're not doing the homework, if you're not you're not doing yourself any good. You're just sitting through one more thing. You're just becoming a fatter Christian, not this way, but. And we don't want a bunch of fat Christians. We want to empower you guys to go out and to make disciples. And you can't do that if you're not in your word, if you're not digging in every single day and really leaning on God. And then lastly is we have the Bible studies. I will be back there if you guys would like to buy one. I don't have change, though. Just let me throw that out there really quick. I don't have any change. So any questions for me? I didn't call you fat, okay? I don't want anyone to go to Pastor Jeremy and be like, Megan Campbell called us fat and grow track too. All right, guys. Love y'all. Y'all have a great week. We'll see y'all next week.